Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Marianne Wagner, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington's College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant is a little-known marine research gem based at the University of Washington, and this past year, they reached their 50th year anniversary of service in Washington State, supporting our marine environment and maritime economies since 1972. Today we have with us the director of Washington Sea Grant, Russell Callender, whom I have the pleasure of working with on a regular basis. He is here to talk with us about how Washington Sea Grant helps people understand and address the challenges we face along Washington's coastlines. Welcome, Russell.
Hey, Marianne. Thank you for inviting me to join the show today.
So you have a PhD in geology from Texas A&M University and have held various leadership roles with NOAA for 28 some years, with four of those years as a leader at NOAA's National Ocean Service. How has this helped you in your role as director of Washington Sea Grant?
I would say that everything I've done up until now in my career has prepared me for this job here as director of Washington Sea Grant. And in particular, working in NOAA, it taught me the value of interdisciplinary science. It taught me the value of what I would call a service-oriented organization, and an organization that focuses on the mission. And so it's in NOAA, it was all science-based work, but focused on a mission. And we do the exact same thing in Sea Grant. Our work is using applied science to solve pressing problems on the coast. And I think probably the biggest lesson I've learned in my career that's been valuable here in Washington Sea Grant is understanding how to interact with people and develop partnerships from fishermen on the dock all the way up to working with folks in Capitol Hill and in the White House. So all of these kinds of areas have really helped me in my job here in Washington Sea Grant.
Can you give us a quick overview of the work Washington Sea Grant does here in Washington?
That's kind of a hard question, but I'll try and I will make it quick because we'll dive into it a little bit deeper. We focus on applied research. We focus on outreach, providing the results of that research to constituents, people on the coast. We focus on education, K through 12 education, as well as education of postgraduate level. And Marianne, as you well know, with your efforts, we tie all this together with a stellar communications program.
So what sort of support does Washington Sea Grant offer our marine-based communities?
It depends on what they need. Our work is really focused on, I would say, constituent-driven science. So if there's a challenge, for example, around coastal erosion, we have a coastal specialist that will work with that community, help them understand their challenges, understand their risks, provide them information that would help them deal with that problem, and do it in such a way that it's not driven by jargon and technicality, but really speaking in a language and an approach that people that aren't trained scientifically can understand. I mean, that's just one short example.
That's a good example because the staff of Washington Sea Grant are really like experts out in the field on the ground working with folks, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a team of staff that are embedded in the local communities on the coast that aren't just somebody coming from outside, if you will, to work with them, but it's somebody that people will see in the grocery store or in the coffee shops and know them for who they are and for what they can bring to that community.
Yeah, that brings me to my next question. Washington Sea Grant has staff placed in key locations all up and down the coast and Puget Sound, including Port Townsend, where this radio program is taped. Can you tell us how you choose where to place staff?
I would say that the placement of our staff on the coast before I got here about 3 years ago was basically historical. the placement of our staff over the last 50 years, I think, has evolved. And when I got here about 3 years ago, it was mainly historical. It's where staff had been. What I realized when I came here clearly was we did not have much of a presence on the actual coast. We had a lot of presence in Puget Sound. And so I've worked really hard to try to find opportunities to bring staff to the coast. We have a coastal hazard specialist that's located on the coast. We have a coastal economist now that works coastal issues. We have a commercial fishing specialist that's placed on the coast. So that's been the focus that I've been trying to push. We've also got staff in key areas such as Bellingham or Shelton. It just depends on, you know, what the nexus is in that community for coastal issues.
And Port Townsend is one of those communities you mentioned. So this is, as I said, where KPTZ radio airs. And it's a good example of the type of community where Washington Sea Grant works. It has both the recreational and the commercial fishing community. What partnerships does Washington Sea Grant have in this coastal community as an example?
Well, I'd like to give a shout out to our staff member there, Aaron Barnett. Aaron's a bit of a character. He's former Coast Guard, so he understands a lot of coastal issues. He's an expert in water quality. He does a lot of work helping the recreational boating community deal with avoiding water quality challenges by helping them on sewage pump out technology and techniques. He also works helping to eliminate or reduce small spills, be oil or chemical spills. And he's starting to focus on looking at how to remove and recycle derelict vessels, which is a vexing problem for our coast and many other coasts.
That's a huge problem with all coastal communities, and it's a tough one to grapple with. So that's really a wonderful area for Sea Grant to be delving into, because it really does improve the water quality if you can. And it's a tough problem, too.
Well, I think with Aaron's expertise and that interest in derelict vessels, there's going to be some opportunities presented to us. Sea Grant just received nationally $50 million for marine debris research. And I've been advocating for a push there using those funds to help with the derelict vessel problem.
Oh, that's wonderful news. So please touch on just a few of the major accomplishments that Washington Sea Grant has either funded or participated in over the past 50 years.
You're asking me all these hard questions. So there's been so much that Sea Grant has done over the last 50 years. I'm just going to hit on two, I think. Over the last 50 years, we've actually had an agreement that we've helped to broker between the crabbing community and towboat operators. Why is this important? Well, there's a limited amount of space near the coast that could be used both for towing vessels and for crabbers. And this is one of the earliest examples of what we would call marine spatial planning, where you bring disparate groups together that have potentially areas on the ocean that they would be in conflict with. And instead of having them in conflict, we broker an agreement, and we've brokered that agreement, and it's changed over the years that has allowed both the crabbing community and the towboat operators to work safely and avoid conflicts. I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing that it's lasted for 50 years and it's still ongoing. Just shows the value of Sea Grant being embedded in the community for a long period of time.
Right. That's another program that is celebrating 50 years.
Exactly. And I think the other area that I want to highlight that I think I'm really proud of what Sea Grant has done over the last 50 years has really been on influencing the next generation of coastal professionals. We have made investments through a variety of fellowship opportunities. There's a Knaus Marine Policy Fellowship that we manage. It's a national fellowship in scope. And we identify amazing students that are finishing their master's or PhDs that then go on and work either on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., or for a federal agency of some kind. We have a program like that here in Washington called the Mark Hirschman Marine Policy Fellowship. And this is a fellowship that is very similar to the Knaus Fellowship, but we're placing master's or PhD level folks into positions in state agencies or nonprofits or with tribes. And if you look at who's who in marine science and marine policy here in Washington State and indeed nationally, you're going to see Knaus Fellows and you're going to see Washington Sea Grant, Mark Hirschman Marine Policy Fellows. It's just an amazing investment that we've done over the years. And I'm also proud to say that in my time here, working with Deborah Peirce, who's one of the amazing staff at Washington Sea Grant, we've established a new fellowship, a Keystone Fellowship, to try to provide opportunities for what are historically underrepresented groups in our fellowships. So more to come on that, but that's one of those investments in the future that's going to live on for 50 plus years as well.
Yeah, that's exciting because the Keystone Fellowship gives, as you said, an opportunity to those students who may not have an opportunity to gain a fellowship. It's really, it opens the door to those students that have other challenges, and that's really exciting to hear about that. So what does Washington Sea Grant excel at, in your view, of all the things that Washington Sea Grant does? I mean, there's so many things, but what do they excel at?
I'd say we excel at being flexible and being responsive. We're very solutions focused. So if there is an issue that starts to become apparent on the coast, we focus on it very quickly. And we can mobilize researchers, we can mobilize staff, we can bring resources to bear through partnerships with state agencies. So it's that ability to move quickly and to be flexible and to be relevant, quite frankly.
Great. And being part of the University of Washington, Sea Grant has access to some of the best research minds in the world, and not just at the University of Washington, but the universities all up and down the coast. So what are some of your favorite research projects that Sea Grant has funded?
It has to be Tucker the Poop-Smelling Dog.
Tell me about that.
So I know that sounds kind of funny, but studying marine mammals in the wild is really difficult. And what we have learned, both Washington Sea Grant as well as other researchers have learned, is that the feces from orcas tell a huge amount of information about the animal, about its health, about what it eats, about any challenges it might be having. And it's a great way to get a sample that's non-invasive from the animal. The challenge is, how do you collect the feces in the wild? And so in comes Tucker. Tucker is one of a series of dogs that has learned to be able to smell orca feces up to a nautical mile away and can really help researchers to go and collect those samples immediately, scoop them up, if you will, from the water, and then bring them for analysis. And you couldn't do that without a dog, and you couldn't have done that without the research that went behind helping to train that dog in that science. Something that I also think is pretty amazing is Washington Sea Grant's use and emphasis of participatory science. We have two programs where we train volunteers to conduct science in the field that are helping to solve problems. And these two programs are called Sound Toxins and the Washington Sea Grant Crab Team. And Sound Toxins, for example, is a program where we work with university researchers, we work with NOAA scientists, and we also work with the community to take water samples to analyze what's called phytoplankton and to help provide information to the Washington State Department of Health about harmful toxins in the water that could be impacting shellfish and thus could impact people's health. On our crab team, we're dealing with a huge challenge, an emerging challenge of European green crabs, which is an invasive species that has been moving up the coast from where it first got a toehold in San Francisco Bay. And we've got a team of, I believe, over 100 individuals that we're working with to try to assess the nature of that challenge and the numbers of those crabs that we're starting to see in our waters.
If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I am Marianne Wagner, today's host of Coastal Cafe, when we're speaking with Russell Callender, Director of Washington Sea Grant. So thank you, Russell. What do you see as the toughest challenges along our coastlines? I mean, you just mentioned a couple of really amazing projects that are presenting some challenges, but can you name a few others that are plaguing our coastlines today?
Sure, Marianne. And sadly, there's a number of challenges that are plaguing our coast. I think one of the big areas that we're going to continue to see as an issue here in the coast is what I would call the challenges of coastal resilience. How does communities, or how do communities on the coast prepare for and bounce back from major trauma that they might have? So we're seeing an increase in the frequency and the duration and intensity of coastal storms. If you think about the atmospheric rivers and literally the fire hoses of water that we've seen dumping on the coast, that's causing flooding, it's causing increased erosion, it's causing mudslides, all issues that impact coastal residents and coastal communities. We also have a concern about episodic events such as tsunamis and the flooding that may come from that. And if you add sea level rise challenges onto flooding from tsunamis or from coastal storms, that just creates another challenge that we see. And so this issue of coastal resilience, increased coastal erosion, impacts from storms, I think it's going to be one of those challenges that's going to continue to plague us for many years. I think another one is going to continue to be user conflicts over limited space in our coastal waters and the waters of Puget Sound. Right now, there's an emerging interest in offshore renewable energy in Southwest Washington that's creating a lot of debate. We're very early in that conversation, but I think we'll be able to build on some of the marine spatial planning that we have done and Washington Sea Grant has participated in the past. Those are just a couple examples that I see coming up over the next probably 10 to 50 years.
Well, thanks. And also the past 2 years have been pretty challenging along the coast as fishermen and shellfish growers have been scrambling to find new markets after the international market for seafood were weakened or even stalled due to the pandemic. And what would you say is the key for these small businesses to continue surviving a global pandemic?
You know, the industry was really hammered hard by the pandemic. I think they're one of the earliest groups that I've seen impacted in the coast. And I think a couple of areas where I've seen some of those businesses really be able to bounce back is one is figuring out ways to take care of their employees, helping to support the people that are working for them financially, taking advantage of some of the opportunities provided by the federal and state government to support those staff, I think is key. And I think the second one is figuring out ways to diversify their markets and where they sell products, how they package products, who they partner with to distribute those products. So direct marketing has been one example that I think has helped that community to some degree.
Yeah, I think that direct marketing is key and flexibility is key for these smaller shellfish growers and fishermen who are out there trying to make it work. Flexibility is the key word for them, definitely. One of Washington Sea Grant's partners, the Swinomish Tribal Community, is in the midst of a very exciting project exploring the potential for reviving clam gardening. Would you say they are providing a good example of ways to be resilient in the face of a pandemic or even climate change?
You know, I wouldn't look at it as being resilient to climate change or the pandemic. I view this as a way for them to focus on two things. One is really food security and the ability to grow their own foods and to control their own destiny in terms of where they're able to get their foods. And I think equally importantly, if not more so, it's really a project that brings the tribe together. It provides an opportunity to learn from historical, long-time past practices, and it provides an opportunity for elders and the youth of those tribal communities to learn from each other and for the elders to pass on that knowledge to the kids in the community and really help them to understand the value of working together as a tribe and the value of those historical cultural practices. It's an amazing project.
Yeah, we should probably define what a clam garden is for our audiences here, just so that everyone knows. It's an area that is set aside to nurture and grow clams and shellfish of all kinds that help feed the community. Would you have anything to add to that in terms of a description? It's literally, we actually had the opportunity to build or rebuild one before the pandemic struck. And that was really a wonderful experience where you're building seawalls and protecting an area so that fish could come and go and be sustainably caught, for example.
So in the Swinomish Clam Gardens, what they're doing is they're building rock, small rock walls in the intertidal parallel to shore. And that allows clam larvae to settle into that protected area. And then the community will go in there and work, and they'll pull out seaweeds, or they might move rocks around or try to see if there's too much sediment in one area that might smother clams or not enough in another. So it's really gardening. It's tending to that clam community that they're helping to facilitate their growth.
It's a fascinating project. And as mentioned earlier, you have a PhD in geology. What drew you first to geology, and how do you end up working in the marine sciences?
Well, I guess I had a misspent youth. I grew up in Texas. Geology is a big deal. I grew up in Houston. It was all about the oil industry. And my father was a geophysicist, so I wanted to go into geology and learn about it. Once I got into it, I realized that I absolutely didn't want to be involved in the oil industry. It was just not where my calling was. I got interested in invertebrate paleontology. And invertebrates are basically animals like shellfish that don't have backbones. So I was interested in how to reconstruct the environment, the past environments that some of these clam and shellfish communities lived in. And so I got involved in paleontology, and it was a quick step. If I wanted to understand those ancient environments, I knew that I needed to understand modern environments. So I got interested in biology, organic geochemistry, biological oceanography, geological oceanography. So it really sort of moving me more towards the marine realm. And I was able to get a degree at Texas A&M that was joint between oceanography and geology. I probably had more sea time than any of the oceanography students. And I also had the opportunity to go down and research submersibles numerous times, which was just an amazing experience.
Well, while you were at NOAA, at the National Ocean Services, you were responsible for managing a yearly budget of $565 million and overseeing over 1,700 people. Did you have a favorite project before we wrap up that you can share with us?
Yeah, I'd say probably one of my favorite projects was I helped to establish a National Estuarine Research Reserve in Hawaii. This is an area called Haiea, and this was helping to restore and preserve an 800-year-old fish pond on Oahu. And recently here in Washington Sea Grant, I got to go full circle from helping to establish it in the DC realm to wading out in the mud, carrying rocks and helping to rebuild the walls. So I got to see it from the policy side as well as sort of the reality side on the ground.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Russell, and for sharing with us the role that Washington Sea Grant has played for the past 50 years and what they hope to accomplish in the future. And the website at Washington Sea Grant is a great resource to learn about current marine research and outreach activities that enhance the and protect the coastal waters and communities. Just go to wsg.washington.edu to learn more. This is Marianne Wagner, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education that support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. And I'd like to thank our station manager, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Kooeaks for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. And thank you, Russell. And thank you for listening. Have a good day. Hatuasiku ha, hingin ani. Hatuasiku ha.